Excellent Movie Adventures.
Welcome to Excellent Movie Adventures. I am your host, Thomas, with my co-host, Pickle.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing great.
Good. So, what's your exciting news? Should we just get right into it? Your face went all bug-eyed.
I'll save it for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll save it for a minute.
Mm. Watch anything good?
I watched a couple of things. Let's see if I can remember what they are. I didn't write them down. I've been continuing to watch King of Queens because Jerry Stiller is just amazing
in
every role that he touches. he's so funny as Arthur Spooner in that show. He's just so funny. I watched Monster Hunter this week.
Monster Hunter. What one is that?
So it's based off a video game movie, and it had what's her face? Mila Jovovich.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a more recent movie.
Yeah. Came out like a couple years ago or a year ago?
Like a year ago, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Or two now. Nothing came out last year.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was awful.
Yeah.
Man, it was bad.
Yeah.
I can see why people would like it. The monsters did look cool. The battles were kind of cool. Like, you could tell they were kind of trying to replicate gameplay.
Oh.
And some of it translates pretty well, but some of it does not. I don't know. I haven't played the game.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it is in the game, like between characters, but the, Mila's character, she is the main
person.
Yeah. And there's this guy who's like lost in time. First off, at the beginning of the movie, there's a pirate ship that's like surfing across sand.
Okay.
So not through water. And there's these giant like monsters coming up out of the sand like they would come up out of water. I mean, it's kind of cool, but I'm sure it's probably from the video game.
Yeah.
But to me, it was just like, why not just have it in water? And then one of the guys gets like knocked out of the ship and he lands on the ground, but he just lands on the ground.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like go into the water. There's like no peril.
Yeah.
And he's knocked out, so the monsters don't even notice him. So, and I can't tell if like it's on purpose that they're driving this thing across the sand, because later those same monsters are like, they're basically just graboids from Tremors where they like can sense stuff on the surface. So they like attack it. That's basically what they are.
Huh.
There's like a dragon thing and some like bugs that are kind of like scorpions or spiders. I didn't think anything was that creative of a monster. They're probably monsters ripped out of the game. Again, I haven't played it, so I can't be like the best critic of that. But as far as a movie goes, like that guy doesn't speak English and she only speaks English. So then she gets transported like through this portal into this monster universe.
Yeah.
And that guy is like saving her in her army platoon that gets transported with her.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like from a distance and like never comes to like approach them and help them. But like these monsters keep showing up and he's shooting at them with like a giant bow and arrow from like forever away, and like making explosions and stuff. And then he just never goes to help them. It was this weird dynamic where it's like this mysterious hero, you know, but then he like the reveal of like who he is, which I know who he is, 'cause I saw the opening sequence, but to like them, to like for her to meet him, it isn't until like everyone else is dead. And then like the guy who pirated the ship at the beginning of the movie, like the captain comes back towards the end to help find a dragon. And I don't, it's just, it seems convoluted. And like, there's like some comedy they're going for where like the two main characters don't they don't understand each other well. And for me, it just did not land. And I was literally like looking for an excuse to stop watching it about halfway through. I was like, can I just turn this off? But I kept watching it because like my family was watching it with me and some of them seemed mildly entertained by it, you know? So I was just like, I'm just going to play a game on my phone. So I just sat there and played a game on my phone until the movie ended. And then I played Red Dead. I started replaying Red Dead.
That'll kill some time.
Yep. Aside from that, I'm waiting for Pokemon Snap.
Oh, yeah?
Which comes out at the end of this month,
Nice.
The new Pokemon Snap. I've been saying they should remake that game or make a sequel to that game for ever. Like, back on the Wii U, I was saying that. And it's finally come to fruition. The game will be out on the Switch, and I'm super, super excited. So I just need something to get me through time until then. And my memories of that game is that it was pretty short. So if this new one is pretty short, then I'll just continue to play Red Dead afterwards. And then at some point, I got to dive into the Doom DLC because that came out, and I've been just putting it off.
Yeah.
But I finished those South Park games.
Nice.
So I'm done with those. And my South Park rewatch continues. I watched the one episode recently where Bebe's boobs destroy civilization or society. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All the kids start acting like cavemen and being like, oh, ah, ah. Anyway, it's pretty funny. I think that's about all I watched. I don't think I watched any other. I rewatched It.
Oh, okay. Which one?
The chapter one.
Oh, okay.
Of the new movies.
Yeah.
Because it's just so good.
Yeah.
So I liked it. Yeah.
Jackson was asking me about the socks you got me for Christmas that have the paper boat on it. It says Losers Club. And he's like, what movie is that from? I was like, it's one with the clown. He goes, oh, what's the clown's name? I was like, Pennywise. He goes, oh, can I watch it? No.
Yeah, no.
And he's like, why not? And he's like, it's kind of scary. He's like, but there's kids in it. Yeah, and they fight a clown, and it's a scary clown.
It's funny because, like, Lizzie and I have arguments over, like, what our kids can and can't watch.
Yeah.
Because I don't I just have this thing where I don't remember, like, the really bad stuff in a movie. I remember the highlights and the good stuff, you know? So, like, I just have, I guess, more optimistic outlook on films that I've seen.
Yeah.
Especially ones that I like, you know?
Of course.
And I watched it with my friend Gabe, and we were talking about that. And Lizzie blames it on the fact that I saw movies I shouldn't have seen as a young child, you know? she's probably right. But anyway, I was telling Gabe, you know, we were talking about, like, would you let, you know, Jay watch this? You know, because he's 14 or whatever, you know, older. And I was just thinking, like, yeah, he could probably watch it, you know? And we're watching through it, and the beginning of it is fine, and it's going along fine. And then later you get to the part where they're like, you know, the main kid, the mean kid is like trying to carve his name into that fat kid's stomach.
And I forgot about that.
Yeah. You forget about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, there is funny stuff in the movie, but then there are things like that where it's like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. But he's old enough to know, I don't know. Do you think he would get,
it's pretty brutal in the movie.
Yeah. Like, I remember watching it and being like, ugh, but
yeah, as an adult, you know, it's like, it makes you cringe thinking about it. And I don't know, I guess in a couple of years, he can watch it.
He's still dealing with dickhead kids at school.
Yeah, he doesn't need to worry about
it. Yeah.
Or maybe he does need to see it, really put his bullies into perspective.
Yeah.
Like, this is where they really land on the scale of how bad things are. It could be worse.
Yeah, it can always be worse.
That movie is awesome.
Yeah.
It's great. And then it brought back all of my It memories, like watching that, the sequel in the theater with you. And that guy would not shut up that was sitting right in front of us.
Yeah.
Just kept talking through the whole movie. Ugh, that was awful.
Yeah, it was really annoying.
And I still have only seen that the one time.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But anyway, the friend I was rewatching it with, he wants to watch the sequel. So I think I'm going to buy like a collector's edition 2-pack. So I own both because I only own the chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to buy like a collector's edition 2-pack and then watch it with him or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'll own a better copy. Cause now I do that. Like it's like a sickness. Like I'll see, like I have a movie, I own it.
I was going to say you're turning
and the copy is perfectly fine. But then I see like a cooler copy, like it's got like a limited cover or like just artwork that I like better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm getting that. So I get that. I did it with Hudson Hawk just a little while back because they had this cool retro one that came out that looked like VHS.
Nice.
Man, it was cool.
You are turning into
It's pretty sweet. It's in the H's. It's over there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to grab it afterwards and show you. It's pretty sweet. But, I mean, I've also bought movies by mistake multiple times in the past that I already own. Yeah. And that will continue to happen over the years, I'm sure.
Probably.
Now I've gotten a little smarter about it though. Like if I'm out looking for movies and I'm like, do I own this? I'll just call somebody who's at home and make them come up here and look through and find if I own it or not.
That's a good plan.
Yeah. That way I don't end up with a bunch of stuff twice.
Yeah, last time I was at Zach's house, I asked him what new movies he got. He's like, oh, I got this awesome collector's edition of Argo. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And he's like, you have that, don't you? And I said, no. I was going to get it, but I just haven't. And so he walks over and just whips out a copy and throws it at me. Because there you go. Because he got like some set prop or something that came with it, like in this cool packet of like behind the scenes photos and the real photos and this map of the area they're going to and the actual like artwork of the fake Argo movie. Looks pretty legit. Sweet. So that all came with this other one that he just...
I haven't even seen that movie.
What?
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's one of the movies that are like, they get... I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Too over-criticized? Like,
no, not even not that. It's on my list of things I want to watch.
Yeah.
But it's like, for some, whatever reason, like the thumbnail art for it...
Yeah.
...doesn't appeal to me at all. Hmm. It's just Ben Affleck's face.
Yeah.
And so it's just like... I don't hate Ben Affleck or anything, but it's like...
I'd rather look at something else.
Like, I'm going to watch something that I haven't seen that maybe catches my eye or something, you know? Hmm. Anyway.
Just take a look at the artwork at Zach's house tomorrow. It's pretty sweet. It'll make you interested in it.
Hmm. I mean, I am interested in seeing it.
Yeah. It's based off of a knockoff Star Wars movie.
I really don't know anything about it because anytime somebody brings it up, I tell them, oh, I want to watch that, so don't tell me.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what it's about. I just know that people really like it, and I like Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hate him. I don't like... He's not like a favorite actor of mine. I'm not Zach, you know? But, like, I don't know. I'll watch something if he's in it. I'm not going to go out of my way.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. Fairly accurate kind of cinema documentary.
Hmm.
So... Pretty good.
What about you? Did you watch anything?
I've been watching a lot of the show called Meat Eater. About this guy who just goes out hunting.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I've been watching the ones on YouTube because it's the seasons I haven't seen.
Oh, okay.
So I've just been watching those and then it'll just automatically start playing the next one. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
So I've watched that and we were going to watch Raya and the Last Dragon. We just haven't yet. Been busy with spring break and working.
Is that past the Disney Premium?
I don't think so. I think Ashley has already bought it. We just haven't watched it. Okay. But I told her the problem with doing that. And she's like, well.
You're making things worse, Ashley.
So she just kind of shrugged her shoulders. So I think she's already bought it.
It looks good.
Yeah. I don't know if it's worth paying extra money on top of what we're already paying it for.
$30, right? Isn't that what the premium prices are?
Probably.
I think it is.
If it is that much and she hasn't purchased it, I'm going to just tell Jackson, suck it up. We're not watching it for another month.
Like, see, that's the thing that I think is because, like, the price is too high.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If it's an extra $5 or something.
Yeah, $5, sure.
Whatever. But maybe even 10. But, like, at this point, you're already paying for the streaming service. And granted, it's not that expensive. And we've been down that road on this podcast a few times. But it's a dead horse. I will continue to bludgeon. And, I just don't, like, for $30, you don't even own it afterwards.
Yeah. It's stupid.
You know?
Hate it.
Like, when Bill and Ted's... Meet the Music came out.
Meet the Music.
Mm-hmm. I bought it online.
Yeah.
Right?
And you own it.
And now I own it. Like, I paid the $20 or $30 it was to get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I owned it immediately. Now I can watch it whenever I want.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It makes sense to me. You know, they make a little extra money that they normally wouldn't have made, you know, $20-$25 for the Blu-ray release or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll pay 30, but now I own it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see it when I wanted to see it. Cost me about what it would take to buy two movie tickets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's kind of ridiculous. And it's, if you look at it, it's 3 months worth of any sort of subscription to pay for a movie you don't get to keep. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if I can boycott it or not, if she's already spent the money, but not happy.
Well, you'll have to let me know how it is.
Yeah. I will let you know. And other than that, I've just been playing a lot of Witcher.
Still grinding away, huh?
That DLC is huge.
I bet. It's got its own map.
It's like a whole nother game. It's awesome. Like, I was going, doing all these other side quests. I actually forgot what the main story was.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even joking. It's, so, like,
it's funny you say that because, I mean, granted, I took time away from The Witcher when I was playing it. Like, I stopped to do other things, like Doom 2. Mm-hmm. But when I came back to it, I didn't know what I was doing either. I was away from it for more than like a day. And it sounds like you were just doing other quests and forgot what it was. Yeah, I was just
doing other quests.
But like, I stopped and was away for like 2 weeks to play Doom Eternal. And then, I could not remember anything about the game. I'm like that, though. If I play a game and then I switch to a different game, especially if the controls are like wildly different, when I come back, I cannot play that game. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to basically start over from scratch so that I can relearn the control scheme.
Yeah.
Like, I'm playing Red Dead right now. I don't know how to stop my horse. Like, I'm like galloping along. I must have missed like the thing on screen where it's like, push this button to slow down.
Yeah.
I don't know how to slow down. I'm just like pulling back in the reins and like going in a circle a few times until he slows down enough that I can get off. If you hold Y, he'll like skid to a stop or you'll just jump off.
Yeah.
While the horse is still running. But that's not what I'm trying to do. No. You know, I'm trying to like slow down and then stop.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
But that was going to segue me into our movie, but I actually have a couple other things I want to say first. So, have you heard about the Knives Out?
No.
Netflix is buying the rights to Knives Out 2 and 3 for $450 million.
Whoa.
For Daniel Craig, rumored Idris Elba, and then some other people.
Huh.
But I'm excited. If they're going to spend that much money on it, it should be good.
Well, hopefully. Netflix spends a lot of money on a lot of crap.
Yeah, but their big budget items have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going to get huge casts like that. Like, they're going to have some say over, like, no, I don't want to be in this crappy movie, you know?
I hope they're good, because I really liked the first one.
Yeah, that's why I was excited about it. And also, there's rumored now Disney's going to reboot the Star Wars franchise instead of just leaving it dead. And Rey is going to pull a old Anakin and have the Immaculate Conception, have a baby, and he's going to continue on the saga. Cade Skywalker.
That's what I think about it.
Yeah, I think it sounds terrible.
That sounds horrible.
They're ruining the franchise with every new movie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is how I feel. Like, I'm kind of torn on it, honestly. Like, Star Wars, to me, is different than Star Wars to, like, my parents.
Everyone else.
And it's different to Star than Star Wars like to my kids, you know? Because it's different to everybody, you know what I mean? I grew up watching the original trilogy.
Yeah.
But when I was young, the prequels came out, you know what I mean? And I remember, like, being stoked and like walking with a friend all the way to the theaters to see it. You know what I mean? And I don't even know how old I could have been. Like,
when was that? Probably like
9 or 10 or something. Young. Yeah. Not very old. And I remember like seeing it again, episode one with my family after it came out.
Yeah.
And liking it both times. And granted, I was a little kid. You know, I didn't realize how annoying Jar Jar was yet, you know?
Yeah.
And how awful just endless forever hallway walks were and stuff, you know, like all the exposition and just talking in those prequels. And, you know, they have their redeeming qualities. The fights are cool.
Yeah.
I'm not really down with the Yoda fights. I think those have aged horribly. Plus, I know it's an old man swinging a bat at a tennis ball on a stick, you know, like, I know that's what it is, and it's just so weird to me. I don't know, man. Like, it has this magic. Those movies are truly great, the original three. And I personally think that episode three is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people disagree with me, but I love it. I think it's really good. I think that Hayden Christensen really got a grasp for his character.
Yeah.
And the end of that film, first off, that lightsaber fight is great between him and Obi-Wan.
Yep.
But right before that, when Padme shows up on Mustafar and is, that's what planet it is,
yeah,
right?
I believe so.
The lava planet, whatever planet that is. And he's talking to her about, like, she's asking him why he did all these things that he did.
Yeah.
And he's telling her the reasons why was to save her. And Obi-Wan is walking down the ramp behind her, and she doesn't know he's on the ship.
Yeah.
She has no idea he's there. He snuck on the ship, but Anakin doesn't know that. And, like, the just, you can see in his eyes, like, the pure feeling of betrayal. Like, his heart is broken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, trying to, like, speak through tears to tell them, like, how badly they've hurt him after everything he's done is for her. Mm-hmm. Everything is for her. And she betrayed him.
Yeah.
You know? As far as he's concerned, like, that's what it looks like to him.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so well acted and so well written. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. It still makes my eyes water watching it. I haven't seen it in a long time, but
those are just the lava fumes.
Yeah. It gets hot.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really well done, that movie. I'm sure there's some stuff in it that I also don't like. Well, there's a Yoda fight in that movie.
Ridiculous, yeah.
It's more of a force fight, but then towards the end, it's just an old man swinging a bat at a tennis ball on a stick, you know? Like, I don't know. And everything after, and then again, when he, like, gets his limbs cut off, like, mm-hmm. I know the high ground thing is stupid, but, like, when he lands on the ground and he's, like, telling Anakin, you know, that he loved him like a brother.
Yeah.
And Anakin is still, like, gritting through tears and burning alive, and he's crawling through fire to try to kill Obi-Wan. Still, he's missing an arm and both legs. Like, he's just, you know, he's that hurt that he's just unwilling to,
yeah,
to give up any ground. It's amazing is what it is. Mm-hmm. It is awesome. And it baffles my mind that Hayden Christensen got so much hate for that.
Yeah.
I mean, most of, like, the memes and stuff, like the, oh, I hate sand or whatever, that's from the second film,
mm-hmm.
which I will agree is pretty terrible.
It's the worst of those three.
I think so too.
It's forgettable.
Yeah. I don't think the big crescendo is the massive battle at the end,
mm-hmm.
in that Colosseum right before Yoda fights Dooku.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just told you why I don't like that fight.
Yeah, it's stupid.
And I don't know. It showcases one of the Fets is in that movie a lot. And, you know, we've been down this road.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk about how much I hate the Fets. And I don't know. Just that movie is just not good, dude. Episode 2 is not good.
Yeah.
Like, at least episode 1, that kid, Lloyd, what's his name? Lloyd?
I don't remember. Yeah. Something like that.
Whoever plays Anakin, little kid Anakin, he is not the best actor, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, he's a child actor.
Yeah. He's a kid. So you kind of have to give him a little room. And if, All those movies suffer writing-wise.
I thought
George Lucas who can't write dialogue to save his life.
See, I thought he was the one that got more flack than Hayden Christensen for the Star Wars movies.
People, like, he had to take a break from acting and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I thought that's what happened to the other kid, and then he got into drugs. And
But Hayden Christensen took a break, too, and then he came back. Mm. But he was an adult, you know what I mean? That Lloyd, his last name might be Christensen. Lloyd Christensen?
That doesn't sound right.
It's Lloyd something.
We'll see.
I think. Anyway, that kid, he... Hi, Lulu.
Dad?
Yes?
I want to wash my hands.
You need help washing your hands? Okay, I'll come help you.
Now for our sponsor break.
Yeah, sponsor is right here. And we're back. What an excellent word from our sponsors.
Woo! Star Wars kid was Jake Lloyd.
Jake Lloyd. Yeah, I knew it was some kind of Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do you want to know what my segue was?
Yes.
Because I was going to end with playing a bunch of Witcher. Because the guy who voice acts Gunter O'Dimm from one of the DLCs for The Witcher is Napoleon Bonaparte in the movie we're watching.
Oh.
The Count of Monte Cristo.
Nice.
2002 version.
That
was a heck of a segue, right?
Yes. Right. Quite the segue. All right. So the cast for this movie is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
J.B. Blanc as Luigi Vampa.
Were you surprised by the son in this?
Yes, that was what I was. That's why my eyes got all big.
You didn't know that until
I didn't even notice that like while I was watching it. And then when I saw his name, I was like, oh my gosh, that's who it is.
Yeah.
Like I can tell, like I
now you know
it's obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Henry Cavill plays Albert Mondego, the son in the movie. And it's super obvious who it is.
I mean, it's from 20 years ago.
Yeah, he's super, super young.
Yeah.
All right, I got to take another break. Yep. She's trying to get in.
I can hear it.
Hey, what's up? You need to go potty now? Okay, come on. So yeah, Henry Cavill is in this movie, and I did not realize it.
I thought about asking you if you recognize the boy, you know, when we're recording this. I was like, there's no way he's not going to recognize him.
I totally slipped him, man. I didn't recognize him at all. Let's see, who else is in this?
Guy Pearce.
And Jim Caviezel, of course. Luis Guzman, which he's just funny in everything, man. Mm-hmm. He's great in this movie as like a solid number two and comic relief always.
Oh, yeah.
I always think of him from Anger Management.
That's really?
Yeah, because he plays like this weird like male prostitute with anger management problems.
Yeah.
And I don't know. it's a colorful character, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, I always remember him from this.
No. So James Frayn is Villefort, and then Dagmara Domenchik is Mercedes.
Yep.
Which it seems to me, I mean, I have no idea if I said her name right, but she like has a familiar face. Like she should be in other things that I recognize. So I kind of want to pull her filmography real quick.
I pulled it up as well.
She's a rock star.
Yeah.
So I've seen that, though I don't know who she is in it. Rock star. A bunch of stuff that I don't recognize.
Yeah, I watched Boardwalk Empire that has her in it, but I don't know who she was in it.
She's not a bad. Well, I don't know. I guess she
doesn't have
is.
A big role to she, do in here, so I don't know. I was going to say she's not a terrible actor,
yeah,
but
she's
then
not
I
terrible, but she definitely didn't draw me in. You know, she was kind of. Honestly, if I'm being truly honest, she's a little boring.
She's a very minor character, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, she has the biggest reason why. Dantes wants revenge, but I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. She wasn't a huge part of it.
Oh yeah. And you said Guy Pearce, right?
Yep.
Yes. And, who is the guy who plays the dude in the prison?
That is Ed Harris. No, not Ed Harris. Someone Harris.
I'm trying to pull up. Like
Richard Harris.
Richard Harris?
Yeah.
So he's Dumbledore, right?
Sure.
So his character, I don't see him as I'm scrolling through stuff, but whoa.
Yeah, he's Dumbledore.
Okay, so Dave Thompson, jailer bribed by Luigi. His photo is a... one of those people with like the shapes on his belly.
Who are you looking at?
From that kids show.
Yep. No, what's the name of the actor that you're looking at?
Dave Thompson was born.
Dave Thompson.
Actor known for Kelsey Grammer presents the script show. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't show his face. Teletubbies. He's the purple Teletubby.
Really?
So the purple Teletubby is also in this movie.
Oh, okay.
Really? Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I mean, I see that for his picture, but...
Oh, yeah. When I go down, like, the
Tinky
first...
Tinky Winky.
Yeah. He's Tinky Winky. Man, this movie...
All right.
This movie has a crazy collection of cast.
It's got the whole rainbow.
Yep. Tinky Winky is in Monte Carlo, not Monty Python.
The Man of Steel and Tinky Winky.
Oh, man. Anyway, boy. So the old guy in the prison, that is based on a real person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So because that prison, the Chateau d'If.
Yeah, it's a real place.
It's a real place.
Yeah.
Which I watched like a brief 5-minute video on YouTube about it where mm-hmm. they're like sent some excavation team there and they had to like helicopter fly in all the equipment to do the excavation because none of the doorways are large enough to fit the equipment through.
Really?
Yeah, like bulldozers and stuff, you know. Oh. Even small ones though. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah.
They just can't fit any of them in there, so they have to like fly them over the walls.
Huh.
So like they boat them in and then they fly them up yeah. and over the wall and into the building or whatever.
What are they excavating there though? Because it's like it's used as a communications base for the Maltese military.
Well, maybe this is before it was used by them. The video that I saw was older. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know how old, but definitely years. Like many right. years, I suppose. Originally, it was built as a military base
yeah, yeah.
and then turned into a prison. And I guess saw its last prisoner in the 1900s. But that guy who teaches Edmond.
Mm-hmm. The priest.
Yeah, the priest. He is based on a real person who was a...
convict?
No. Oh. Well, I mean, yeah, he went to prison. But he was like imprisoned there and then he got out. He didn't die there.
Okay.
He was released later and became like some kind of scholar.
Huh.
And then ended up dying of a stroke.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which I think is how he dies in the book, because the video was like, just like in the book, died of a stroke. But in the movie, the collapse yeah. kind of kills him, right? Because he's yeah, fine until then. And then, yeah. yeah. So, anyway, spoiler for his death, I guess.
Well, I mean, the book was written in 1844.
Oh, yeah, by Alexandre Dumas.
Yeah.
Who I guess we didn't say that yet.
Well, we were getting there.
Yeah, we were getting there.
We just barely finished the credits.
Okay, let's see here. Box office. That's what you wanted me to look up. So yeah. this movie was filmed on a budget of $35 million estimated. Opening weekend, it made 11.
Mm.
And worldwide gross was 75.
Okay.
So
didn't do terrible.
Yeah, no, it made money for sure. As far as like the total return, it probably wasn't like,
it wasn't stellar.
Yeah. It wasn't leading the box office, but no. I mean, it was a successful movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it came out in 2002, so it was going up against those Star Wars movies we were just talking about.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I don't know for sure. That's same time.
Okay. But around there.
Yeah.
You're probably not wrong. Let's see here. On recommended more like this films, there's Tristan and Isolde, which that movie I bought tickets to and then went to go see a Lord of the Rings movie instead.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
And to this day, I have not seen that film.
Yeah.
Even though it stars Mr. Franco, who I do like.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. The original Count of Monte Cristo is recommended. A movie called Frequency is recommended. And
oh, yeah. Frequency is good. That has Jim Caviezel in it.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
And The Man in the Iron Mask is recommended, which I like that movie.
I haven't seen, which version have you seen?
DiCaprio.
Okay. I saw part of that. I don't remember it very well, though.
You know, I remember it fondly from when I was a kid. Yeah. I remember thinking, like, whoa, that's crazy. and I've seen it as an adult, and it, you know, it has lost. It's not as good as I remember it.
Yeah.
But it is good, and the cast is great. It's got, crap, off the top of my head. I'm looking right at their faces, but I can't remember his name. I'll tell you.
That guy.
John Malkovich.
Okay.
Yeah, so DiCaprio, Jeremy Irons, John Malkovich. Like, it has a great cast, you know?
Yeah.
The writing is, it's up and down, mm-hmm. you know? But overall, I like that movie. Yeah. I think it is good.
Yeah. What do you think of the writing in this one?
I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
The movie can drag a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but Caviezel's performance is really good.
Yeah.
He keeps me entertained every time he's on screen. And, you know, you have to follow his journey,
yeah,
you know, which
sure.
does take a while. And I feel like Guy Pearce's character is pretty despicable. Like, it's easy to dislike oh, yeah. him.
You can tell right away he's not a good person.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's not like super clear. I guess we kind of find out as the movie goes on, like why they banded together to like betray him.
Yeah.
But Guy Pearce's motives for betraying his best friend air quotes,
yeah,
seem pretty loose to me. You know, like just because he's jealous that he yeah. has this girl and he doesn't, like.
I mean, I get it.
You know, like you could be jealous of a friend. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, I'm but to go that far, that's pretty far. Yeah. You know, especially for that, it's like he can't be like. First off, he looks like Guy Pearce, so he's not like the ugliest guy around. Okay. You know,
I didn't know what that was supposed to mean.
Well, I'm just saying, like he's got money. He yeah. looks like Guy Pearce. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How, like, there's got to be ladies around that are good looking, that are interested in him.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, he likes Mercedes mm-hmm. or whatever, you know? But like, he's never liked any other girl and gotten over the crush or whatever, you know? Which is what it ends up being. He's yeah. just infatuated with her because then we find out later that he like hates her. You know what I mean? So yeah. it's like.
Yeah, this is the 1800s. He saw her ankle once and he was like, oh, mama.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Yeah, like, get over it, man.
Like, you have everything else that he doesn't mm-hmm. have, but he's happy, and yeah. and Guy Pearce is not, so he's like, oh, I'll teach you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll steal Everyone's your life from miserable. You and try to kill...
Basically kill you. Oh, I guess
he
doesn't
try to kill you, but he sends you away to suffer forever.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know, man. It just... It seems, like, extremely malicious. Oh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like a little much. Like, you know, maybe try something else. I don't know. You know, like, it's brutal, man.
Yeah.
He gets, I mean, you know, he gets what's coming to him, I guess, by the end of the film. For sure. But.
Yeah. I kind of like the writing. I thought it flowed pretty well, but then there's parts that were just a little bit cheesy. I mean,
yeah.
But they were good.
I think some of it is also maybe inexperience of some of the actors. Like, mm-hmm. I do think that, I mean, Henry Cavill is a great actor now.
Yeah.
Was he a great actor in this? He's yeah. okay. You know, he's not really a central part, but he's also not, like, super believable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Meh.
Yeah. I'm not going to fault him for his portrayal of that character in this, at least.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you have a favorite line from this movie? Or a scene?
So I have a favorite scene for how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
So he rides in on the balloon, right?
Yeah.
To this party, which it's a grand entrance.
Oh, yeah.
I give you that. However, he lands like, so the party is like down in this area by this fountain, mm-hmm. right? So he walks to the top of this ledge. So he lands the balloon like 30 feet back.
Yeah.
Which means that those people did not see him get out of the balloon or any of those like Cirque du Soleil people probably.
Well, I mean, they were from pretty high up. I'll bet they could see him.
Yeah. Float in.
Yeah. And like doing their little,
but
thing.
That far back, I don't know, man. And maybe if you're further away from the fountain, you could see up and over, but all the people that are closer to the house, they didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Like the people that are looking right up at him. Cause when he walks to the gate, he's looking like almost straight down
mm-hmm.
at some people. Like, you know, there's a lot yeah. of people there. It's a large party. But a lot of people did not see that. He should have planned it differently, you know?
Yeah.
Land, like...
But he's supposed to be mysterious, so you only get to see part of it.
But why do... Well, like, that's a big entrance. And
oh, yeah.
I would argue, just based off my perspective, that most people didn't see most of that entrance. Like, they see the fireworks, they see the yeah. balloon coming in, and then as it gets closer to the ground, they're just like, I can't see anything, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's a ridiculous reason that I yeah. like that scene. Just because I watched it, I rewound it and rewatched it just to make sure I had the layout of the, yeah. like the land correctly. Because like, it's pretty high up. I mean, where he walks to yeah, the edge of
terraced.
That.
So yeah, it's probably like what, 12 feet?
Oh, it's higher than that.
I don't know if it's that high.
Definitely higher than that.
You think so?
I think it's at least 15 to 20 feet. Between yeah. where he's standing and the true ground.
Okay.
So, you know, if most people are 5 to 6 feet. Mm-hmm. He's still 12 feet above their heads where his feet are.
Yeah.
And then he's 30 feet back away from there. Like, there's no way, you know. Yeah. Again, if they're on this side of the fountain, if they're further away,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, they probably could see most of it. Maybe.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that they didn't see. So we get to see it all because it's a movie. Yeah.
And that's what matters.
Yeah. Aside from that, the betrayal scene where he goes to, what's his friend's name?
I always get him
Mondego.
Wrong. Yeah. Mondego.
When he goes to Mondego's house, I watched this a week ago.
Yeah, it is Mondego.
2 weeks ago. Yeah. So when he goes to Mondego's house and, he's finding out that he's been betrayed, mm-hmm. and he's trying to like fight him with a sword, yeah. and he's just like not equipped to fight his well-educated friend, yeah. well-trained friend with a sword, you know, because mm-hmm. he's just this poor guy who had dreams to become a captain that came true.
Yeah.
Where his friend is like from wealth and, mm-hmm. you know, obviously went to school, obviously learned how yeah. to use a sword and is way better at it than him. And he's just like, from a distance, like slicing him and like kind of stabbing him.
Yeah.
But not deep enough to kill him or yeah. maim him badly or.
He still likes him.
Enough to send him to prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
At the worst prison, like where they're going to torture you.
Well, I mean, that
just so you can keep the time.
I don't even know if that was entirely all him though, because when he goes and says, who he was supposed to meet, it was that guy's dad. So he's like, oh, you're never leaving to tell anyone this. I think that was more the justice guy.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know, because
I think he wanted him to go to prison for a little while, but then it got turned into murder and treason because of what happened afterwards.
Well, yeah, he said it was murder and treason. But yeah. The guy who runs the Chateau d'If admits that he knows Edmond is innocent.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't remember what his name is, but the justice, what they call him, the
Villefort
yeah.
guy?
Yeah, it's his dad. So he was going right. to let him go, and they were just going to throw him in prison. And then he's like, wait, what name did you say? Mm. And then he's like, come with me, and takes him to the back exit to that jail car. I think that was more on him. Like, yeah, he was going to go to prison for a little bit, maybe, but he wasn't going to be going there for life.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He was trying to protect his family, so that guy definitely had malicious intent also. But he also hadn't been yet approached by Guy Pearce yet at that point in time. Because it isn't until after, because he they let him go,
yeah,
and then they come and get him again.
No,
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
Because they arrest him at his home. He's at home with his wife, with his fiance, and his dad.
Yeah, yeah.
They come and arrest him. Mm-hmm. So that's when he gets like that information
yeah.
or whatever. And he was tipped off that he had the letter by Guy Pearce.
Mm-hmm.
So Guy Pearce tipped them off that he had the letter.
Yeah.
So then they arrest him. And take him back.
Yeah, and they interview him.
Yeah, and he's going to let him go until he knows the name.
Yeah, and then he takes him. He says, come with me, you'll take my personal carriage. But that...
Well, no, he does uh-huh. let him go because he goes to what's-his-face's house? Because that's where they come to get him. Mm. He goes to Guy Pearce's house afterwards. He does let him leave.
I didn't think so. I thought it was when they're taking him out and they say it's for murder and treason. And then he's like, what? No. And then he runs away and they're chasing him to Guy Pearce's house. I thought.
Maybe. I think he just lets him leave.
I don't think so.
Because he's still in the room. Like,
I don't think he lets him leave.
Because I think that's when he's like burning the letter when he leaves.
Yeah.
He's watching him leave while he's burning the letter. So yeah. he lets him go.
No. He's starting to. And he says, what did you say? Or who did you say was supposed to come get this letter? And he says... whatever name it was, and he goes, say it again, and then he goes, and Ferdinand doesn't, you didn't tell Ferdinand this, he goes, nope, no one else, and so then he's like, for my apology, let me take you home in my personal carriage, takes him through the back door, and then the carriage pulls up to him, and he's like, ta-da.
Mm-hmm. But he gets in that carriage.
Yeah, yeah, because he doesn't realize those metal bars aren't mm-hmm. on the windows. Yeah, I don't think he actually gets... to go home, and then the next day or two or whatever, Guy Pearce shows up with the
fiance. But at some point he goes to Guy Pearce's house because they come and get him again.
No, that was from the original time when he's running and he has the cavalry guard or whatever chasing him, and then he gets there and he's like, I need your help, I need your help, they're coming to get me, they're minutes behind, and that's when they're fighting, And then he kind of like subdues him, and then the guys come in and he's like, in here, after he like slices his hand. I don't think he gets up.
I don't think so. No. I don't think that's before, because this is the thing. Why would he not say anything about Guy Pearce's betrayal to that guy? He doesn't know that they're in cahoots together. He has no idea.
Yeah.
So if he was at Guy Pearce's house first, that's when he finds out Guy Pearce betrayed him.
Yeah.
It's got to be after. Like, he must leave and go to Guy Pearce.
Sure.
And then they come and arrest him. Because he goes, they come and get him from dinner, right? And they take him there, and he talks to that Villefort guy. He lets him go. And then maybe they come for him again?
See, because that just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
Well, because it would give him time to have spoken to Guy Pearce again.
See, because I thought when he speaks to him again, Guy Pearce is going there as like his friend to pay for him as an attorney. He's like, what do I need to know? And then he's like, hey, thanks for the extra Chateau d'If treatment or whatever. And he's like, yeah, we have mutual interest in this.
Well, yeah, but that's later. That's like the next day. I'm talking about when Edmond goes to Guy Pearce's house.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Something weird goes on there, because it's like he ends up being arrested twice.
Okay.
Because they let him go. And then he goes to, I don't know, man. There's something weird there that we're just not remembering. It's a good thing we're expert reviewers, so we remember this seemingly
notes.
Important detail. Oh, man. What's funny is Lizzie loves this movie, so she'll be like listening back to this and being
she'll be screaming.
This is what happened!
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, I like that sword fight. That's what we got on the subject. I like that when he's like, just the acting and everything in that scene is great. Mm-hmm. And how he's like trying to like jump out the window and he can't figure out how the window opens. And, you know, Guy Pearce is just right behind him, like just telling him, like, dude, you're screwed, man. You're not going anywhere. I'm not letting you leave. Maybe he sent for the guards to come and get him. Maybe they're his guards that arrest him the second time.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think you are right. I think he does say at that point that somebody's after him.
Yeah.
But they have to have let him go again.
I think he just escapes. I don't know.
I don't recall the escape.
Man.
Whatever. What else?
Minor
is good?
Detail.
the prison montage is all pretty good.
Yeah.
When he meets the priest. And
I really like that scene.
When he meets him for the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Guy Pearce has been, not Guy Pearce, Jim Caviezel has been in there for years, you know, all alone. And then all of a sudden, his floor is like getting ripped up and this thing comes out of the ground. He's losing his mind.
Yeah,
I like that. I think he acted that really well.
Yeah. His eyes get like all huge and he like backs up against the wall into the corner. Mm-hmm. Like he does not like, because he's counted like all of his, that line too is pretty awesome where he's like telling him like, I've counted all of these rocks X amount of times. And he's like, but have you named them yet? And he just starts to like break down and cry because it's like,
he knows exactly.
It took him X amount of time to even start counting the rocks. And now he's counted them many times. He knows how many there are to the point where he's upset that the order is now off because he broke through the floor. And then the guy's like, well, yeah, but you haven't even started naming them yet. So
you haven't been in here that long.
So it's like, how much longer do I have to be in here? You know, like that to me is probably his lowest low in the whole movie, because like, he thinks things can't get worse, but they can, you know?
Yeah.
And the priest has been through that part and is like on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. Like he dug in the wrong direction and he's like cool with it. You know, he's like, oh, dang, I went the wrong way. Well, I guess I'll turn around and go back. You know, like he just has like this great attitude about where he's been. And obviously he wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
You know, because he can relate to Dantes and how he feels about, like, you know, having counted all of his rocks.
Yeah. I like how he pops up and goes, this isn't the courtyard.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
You have a window? I haven't seen the sky in 12 years.
Which is funny because they go to his cell and he has a window. Did you notice that?
Does he have a window?
Yeah, I think it's just that he wants somebody to lift him up so he can see to see the sky. Yeah.
Hmm.
So at least there's light coming into his cell. So he has a window.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it is.
Can't see it.
Yeah, because when he's on Dantes' shoulders, he's like looking almost straight up. So if you're down on the ground, you probably can't see directly in.
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I like the prison stuff.
Yeah.
That guy who runs the prison.
Yeah.
He, in fact.
I didn't even know who he was on here.
Yeah, I'm going to look up. Is it Maurice?
I think so.
Oh, no. Let me see if I can find out who he is. Because I'm pretty sure that he's like always a villain.
Yeah.
And like
he's got everything. A menacing face.
Very menacing face. I'm pretty sure he's the bad guy in the Crow film. And is he? Yeah, I think it's the same guy. I could be mistaken. Is it Dorliac? I think this is him. I think it's Michael Wincott.
If it is, yeah, it's the same guy.
It is the same guy?
Mm-hmm. Michael Wincott's in it.
Boom. Oh, wait, what movie are you looking at? The Crow?
The Crow, yeah.
Okay, then yeah, it's the same guy. Oh, man. Wincott, and then is he also in The Mask?
Oh, I don't know.
It's probably a different guy.
I can't tell
it's got to be. Guy of Gisborne. He's in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves from 1991.
Hmm.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I don't see him in The Mask.
Hmm. Yeah, he's like at the beginning of, have you seen that movie? The Kevin Costner, Robin Hood?
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember at the very beginning, all the people on the horses who ride up?
Okay.
He's that guy. He's like the guy who's leading the band of horsemen.
Huh.
And right. He's like the cousin of the sheriff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, he has an evil face.
Yeah, he's got a good voice for an evil guy, too.
Yeah, he really is. I would be surprised if he played anything other than villains without digging too closely into this.
That's funny.
He's a voice in Halo 2. He's the prophet of truth. Ooh. So even in the video game, he's a villain. Well, whatever.
Hmm. I do like how they start doing their little prison break, and the priest tells Jim Caviezel's character, you know, we're going to put our dirt in our poo bucket because they never check it. And they figure they can go 12 centimeters a day. Was it a day or a month or whatever?
Yeah, I don't remember the measurements.
It just takes so, like 3 feet a year or something like that. Like, holy crap. And then it shows the time lapse of their tunnel. It's so freaking long, man. Like, that's some dedication.
Yeah.
Taking years.
For real. What we should have watched this and Shawshank and compared the prison the escape.
Tunneling, yeah.
Yeah. Compared the tunneling. Cause the Shawshank tunneling is more impressive, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he uses a spoon or like, does he get a tiny shovel? He does later.
Yeah, a little
trowel. It starts with a spoon, I think. And he just puts it in his pocket and dumps it out in the yard every day.
That's what they do in The Great Escape.
Hmm. Is that an Escape from Alcatraz movie also?
No, that's from a prisoner of war camp in Germany.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. With Steve McQueen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know which movie it is. Okay. That's the movie that they're parodying.
Yeah, parodying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Chicken Run, but also they switch out Steve McQueen with DiCaprio. DiCaprio's in that movie in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You remember that?
Oh.
They like digitally remove Steve McQueen and put in DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's funny.
As part of the history rewrite. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's too good.
Yeah, man, I like that movie. There's this guy at work who like, he loves Tarantino stuff, but he doesn't like that movie.
Yeah.
And it just baffles me.
That's weird.
Like, I can see that people don't like all the driving around in cars because there is a lot of that, but that's like he acts like that's the whole movie, and it's not.
No.
You know, it's like maybe 20 minutes worth.
Did I ever tell you about the story with my dad watching that?
No.
So he was on his way back from Hong Kong, and they were flying in to, don't remember where, like Atlanta or something. Like he had watched almost all of it, and he had like 30 minutes left of that movie of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then he's like, yeah, then we got off our flight, and then we had a long layover. And so then when I went back on the flight, I couldn't find it. It wasn't running again. And so I was like, oh, man, you almost got to the best part. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, the ending is phenomenal. Like, it's not the regular murder that happens, but the people break into Leonardo DiCaprio's house, and one of them dies by flamethrower. And he goes, what? He just lost his mind. And I told him, like, how everyone dies. Like, Brad Pitt throws that can into the girl's face, just smashes yeah. it in. And then, you know, Leonardo light someone up on fire with the flamethrower, and he just busts up laughing. He's like, oh, I gotta watch that show. He was crying. He was laughing so hard. It was funny.
Yeah. How did we get? Oh, yeah. We were talking about prison escape yeah. scenes. Yep, that's what it was.
Man.
Yeah. It's pretty good, man. I like how they never actually escape.
Yeah.
Like the cave, their little tunnel caves in, and it kills the priests, mm-hmm. basically. And then he just has this idea, like, I'm going to switch bodies with the priests. I'm yeah. going to sneak in, and they're just going to carry me out, and I'll just go. They'll throw me out into the sea, and I'll escape. Yeah. You know, like this well-planned-out escape he's been planning with the priest for years.
Yeah.
Like, he's willing. He sees his opportunity.
Throw it all away.
It's not even a guarantee, but he's willing to throw it away.
Yeah.
For this one brief shot at freedom. And it mm-hmm. works out for him. It yeah. almost doesn't.
Yeah.
The guy discovers the other body.
Yeah. See, that's the thing that bugged me. Even watching it as a little kid when this came out, the first time I saw it. Like,
why don't they just leave their trays by the
yeah.
door?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, they're always, like, climbing out of the hole, and they, like, slide their thing across yeah. the floor. And I get it. They're trying to, like, show that, like, oh, they got to hurry and do stuff, you know.
Well, they were digging with it, too, though. That's part of the reason.
With their bowls?
Yeah. They were, like, digging, and they'd get some of the dirt and put it on their bowl and take it back out and put it in their poo bucket.
Hmm.
And that's why comes out of the hole with his, you know, tray and throws it over the door that one time. But if you're going to switch bodies going in and out of the tunnel, just freaking get your dish and put it by the door with the dead body and be like, oh, he's sleeping, but here's yeah. his food.
And I mean, maybe he was in a hurry.
Yeah.
So he didn't think of it, which is what I would say. But you know, every day you're sliding your dish over to the door and like trying to hurry yeah. and get it over there. And secondly, why not just take the poo bucket down there and fill it while you're in the hole? Like, why even put the dirt in your bowl and then carry it up and put it in the poo bucket?
You see how tight it was when he had to try and turn around? You got a poo bucket in there?
Poo buckets aren't that large, though.
Do you want to be knocking around poo down there?
I don't, but I'm just saying. I also don't want to be eating dirt, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
But yeah, I don't know. I would have just put the bowl by the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then when they're throwing the body over and Jim Caviezel's in the bag and he grabs the keys off of the warden's. Well,
they show one of the times when he's putting dirt in the poo bucket, uh-huh. he like undoes fabric and dumps it in there.
Oh, does he? I don't remember.
I mean, I'm not saying that it would be more convenient and easy to use a bowl.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Anyway, continue.
But yeah, so he grabs the keys off the guy's belt, pulls him and the warden into mm-hmm. the water as well. And like how the warden gets drowned and then Jim Caviezel pops up and it shows the two guys looking over the edge. That could have been handled better. Oh, man.
Some yeah, of the writing that they're just like swinging him back and forth and you can like just see him like looking through the stitches. Yeah. He reaches out and grabs those keys to yank that guy down into the water.
Yeah.
I like as how, the other guy who discovered the body is like getting closer.
Yeah. I like how it's kind of like modern writing as well as like the old book writing where they're like, do we throw it on one or on three or after three? Once we get to three, you're like, well, let's count on three. We'll throw them. Like, all right, one, two. Wait, what's that guy saying over there? And they're just swinging him back and forth. They just don't let go.
Yeah. Like, 'cause he didn't say three.
Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But I think my favorite scene that comes up next after that is when he's talking to the pirates and they're explaining the situation where they have to do a knife fight.
Oh, right.
And
when he meets Jacopo.
Yeah, and he's talking to the main pirate leader and he tells him, well, if you kill our friend, then you become a pirate or a smuggler. And Jim Caviezel's, what if I win and I don't want to be a smuggler? And then the pirate guy says, then we slit your throat and we're a bit shorthanded. Jim Caviezel goes, I find smuggling is the life for me, and I would be delighted to kill your friend, the maggot.
I like that part, too.
Yeah.
And I like that, like, he fights him and, like, gets him on the ground, and then he's, just do what I say if you want to live.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, your people have been, those who wanted to be entertained have been entertained. Those who wanted to see mercy have seen it. You know, yeah. Like, that's a really well-written scene. It's really
yeah, good. And I like how it shows how well thought out all of his actions are now after he's been taught by the priest.
He's had like
so
nothing
long.
But time to think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's using his intellect to navigate all these circumstances and situations that he finds himself
yeah.
in. I remember there being something goofy about when Mercedes recognizes him too. And like, he's like,
oh, cause he's twirling his hair.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. It's just cause he twirls his hair.
Yeah.
Which, like, because nobody else twirls their hair. Well, I mean, I guess a lot of people probably don't, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, she kind of looked at him like she recognized him, but then...
Right, even really, before he twirls his yeah, hair. Uh-huh. So he should be thinking, like, oh, I should be, like, watching my mannerisms.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, if it's just a habit you've always had...
Yeah, I guess.
Because she tells him earlier in the film, don't do that, you're going to pull your hair out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, what?
Obviously, it didn't pull his hair out.
Showed you.
Here we are 15 years later. All right. So apparently it was the screenwriter Jay Wolport's idea to make them friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jim Caviezel and Guy Pearce's characters. That's not how it is in the book. They're not buddies.
Mm.
So I don't know how it is in the book. But
I haven't read it. Probably should have.
Apparently, Count of Monte Cristo was one of Mark Twain's favorite books.
Mm-hmm.
And when he toured Europe in 1867, he made a special stop at to see the prison Chateau d'If.
Yeah.
Hmm. And The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn contains a humorous spoof of Monte Cristo, I guess.
Yeah. What was your favorite revenge thing that he does?
I guess, oh, real quick. I also like the trip to go find the gold.
Oh yeah. That yeah. was fun.
I suppose it's when he tricks them into robbing his ship.
Yeah.
And he's like ready for him and has that guy arrested.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think my personal favorite was when he, gets chief prosecutor guy to admit that it was all a setup and he was innocent.
Oh,
the whole
in
time.
The bathhouse.
In the bathhouse. Yeah. And then he's like trying to escape and all of a sudden all the police guys are in there. Like, ha ha.
Yeah.
And he puts him in the jail car with a pistol and it's not loaded. He goes to blow his brains
out.
Do you
think I'd make it that easy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I wonder where that guy ends up. Cause I would have assumed Chateau d'If, but then he buys it.
Yeah,
not long after the end of the movie, so the guy couldn't have been there for very long.
Yeah,
maybe, like a week or two, maybe.
Yeah, gets transferred over to another prison.
And the whipping guy is gone. So, yeah. Like, how awful could
he's
it have been?
He's got job security. There's always going to be criminals in a prison somewhere.
Well, that's who drowns.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, he drowns him.
Yep, I forgot.
Let's see here. Originally, Guy Pearce was offered the role of Edmond Dantes.
Yeah. Also... Did you see this one? Arnold Schwarzenegger?
What?
That would have been terrible.
I want to see that movie.
He turned it down.
So you were gone the week we did The Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
So that fake movie trailer that's mm-hmm. the daydream Danny has.
Yeah.
I want to see that
That'd
movie
be a cool one.
So bad. And that's basically what that makes me think of.
Yeah. Over the top
Something's
Arnold
rotten
something.
In the state of Denmark. Stay the hands, fair prince. Who said I was fair? He pulls out an Uzi. Oh, man. Let's see here. What else? Shooting the final scene was actually done in two parts.
Yeah.
And was originally shot in autumn. However, the grass was very brown, so they decided to reshoot everything in the spring. So if you look closely, you can see some of the brown grass directly behind Count Mondego.
Yeah.
In one of the scenes, I guess.
And Guy Pearce gets stabbed by Jim Caviezel.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, for real, in one of their pairing scenes. And then they take him to the hospital, and after he was all treated, Guy Pearce was like super stoked about it. He's got this cool scar, and Jim Caviezel is just apologizing the whole time.
As you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, right here. Arnold Schwarzenegger turned it down.
Yeah. He knows his
in
limits.
In early stages of development. when Disney greenlit the film, they were hoping to make a family movie and having it released through their Disney banner.
Like, what do you think this is? It's a show about revenge and murder.
Well, it makes me think of, like, their animated films.
Yeah,
I could see somebody, like, making an animated movie kind of, you know. Like, their animated movies can be pretty dark. Like, think about all the parent deaths. There's some dark stuff in those movies. I think they could have made it work. I'm glad we got the movie we got.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's very good. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I would see it. If they made it today, I would see it. I'd check it out. Let's see here. So Michael Wincott was also in The Three Musketeers in 1993. Who was he in that?
He wasn't D'Artagnan. He was one of the musketeers, wasn't he?
I don't know. I hope that he's like the bad musketeer, like the one who stays on, because he's a villain, you know? All right, that was 1993. Let me scroll down here and we'll see who he was. Rochefort?
I don't remember him. What are all the names of the Three Musketeers?
He's the bad one.
Okay.
That's the guy with the eye patch.
Yeah.
So he is the villain.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Chris O'Donnell is the main character.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably like the happiest guy, and he always gets to play these like super rough, mean guys.
He probably has a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, to me, I'm just thinking wrestling because it's WrestleMania weekend.
I was going
to
say,
but
I want to be a bad guy in a movie.
I would love to be the villain. You know, I mean, as a kid, I don't know, for whatever reason, I've always liked villains, you know, like
they're so
still
much cooler.
When I think Ninja Turtles, I'm a Ninja Turtle. I'm not the Shredder because they're just so cool. Right. Mm-hmm. But like I'm buying the Shredder toy. You know what I mean? Like I'm getting that toy because it looks awesome. And I mean, what kid doesn't like Darth Vader? You know what I mean? Let's see what else here. I like Donald Duck instead of Mickey Mouse. I don't know, man. I just the Joker over Batman.
Oh yeah.
Although I do like Batman.
So good.
Yeah, I'm a fan of villains, dude. Mm-hmm. I like them. They're just so interesting.
Yeah.
There are a lot of poorly written villains out there, but a good, well written villain. That's
you know what they
up.
Should do. They should make a movie where you're following the main character, thinking that like he's the hero, but turns out he's actually the villain the whole time.
There's movies like that.
Like what?
I don't know, but I guarantee you,
there probably are, but not any good ones because you can't think of one.
Well, The Law-Abiding Citizen would be one.
Yeah, but you know he's doing bad stuff. But I mean, like,
yeah, I guess that's true. You kind of know that he's the villain.
But where like a Guy Ritchie movie where at the end it explains
Taxi
it all.
Taxi Driver?
No, because he's doing bad stuff the whole time.
Not the whole time. Yeah. Like he starts out as a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
He does start to do bad things as the movie
goes
on.
No, but I mean
on.
Like how like you're following along like you think it's like the Americans versus the Taliban. Turns out you're actually on the Taliban guy's side.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I guarantee you there's something out there.
I just imagine a movie like a Guy Ritchie where you're like, oh, I really like this guy. And then at the end, final 10 minutes, flips the whole script and is like, oh, I've liked the bad guy the whole time.
Let me see. I bet you there's like a list. I bet you I could Google it.
Good guys that are actually bad guys.
Yeah, good guys who turn out to be the villain.
But I guess this movie kind of is that because although Guy Pearce is the original bad guy, our good guy we're on the side of is wreaking havoc, vigilante style, though, so it's for a good cause.
16 movies where the hero was actually the villain. Here we go.
All right.
This is from Ranker.com. Okay. Let's see here. So, Grandpa Joe and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Everyone hates Grandpa Joe. I'm not going to say yes on that one.
Let's see here. I guess people just consider him actually the villain.
Yeah.
Because he exposes the truth about the Chocolate Factory.
That, and he's a dirtbag where he's sitting in bed, can't work, and then gets to go to the factory and hops up. And
he's like, I believe he's like supposed to be crippled or something. Like there's something wrong with him. And then he can magically get up.
Yeah.
Leonard in Memento. That's another Guy Pearce movie.
I haven't seen it though, so.
I saw it once a long time ago, but it's kind of confusing because the movie, like a lot of things happen in reverse order.
Yeah.
Glinda the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz.
No, but it's not following her story.
That's true. She's not the main character. This list broke its own rules. Peter Pan? He's kidnapping kids, bro.
Yeah. I've actually brought that up to Zach before, and it blew his mind.
Ferris Bueller, for sure.
He's a dickhead.
He is a bad friend.
I've always hated him. He doesn't do anything good in the end.
Rose in the Titanic? That's just because there was enough room on that board for DiCaprio. Maverick and Top Gun, is he the bad guy in that movie?
He's just a jerk. Self-centered jerk.
Yeah, but I mean, he ends up not self-centered by the end.
We don't know, because they made a sequel to it where he becomes self-centered again. Yeah, maybe.
We haven't seen that yet. The Beast in Beauty and the Beast. He kind of starts as a bad guy and becomes a good guy. Though. Yeah, it's Belle's story.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Mrs. Doubtfire and Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
I mean, breaking laws, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he is a sympathetic character, but he is breaking the law.
Yeah, I'm on the fence on that one.
I'm just saying, like, I like that movie.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And I feel for his cause. He just wants to be with his kids.
Oh, yeah. I'd do the same thing.
The courts did rule against him, so he did break the law. So he is a criminal.
But you know he's a bad guy in the beginning, though.
You don't know he's a bad guy at the beginning. He starts out as a sympathetic character, and it is his story. The movie presents him as the good guy and presents the mom as kind of the mean character.
She is mean.
Well, yeah, she's mean, but she's legally in the right, you know?
Yeah.
V and V for Vendetta. Yeah, he breaks a lot of laws.
Yeah, but you know he's a bad guy, though.
Yeah, well, he's also the protagonist of the film, you know?
Yeah.
But he's the antagonist for many of the... For
I'll semi-concede
the government.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it deserves to be on the list.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is the point of the character. So it's not like he turns out to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Peter Parker in the Amazing Spider-Man series.
No.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you think that he's getting people killed, Happy Gilmore and Happy Gilmore. How is he the bad guy? I don't get it. I don't get that one. There's a bunch of articles for all of these. Like, each one has, like, a paragraph, but I'm obviously not going to read them. No. I'm just scrolling through their list. Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight. I mean, he's a dick, but... Tony Stark in Iron Man. It's the same reason.
Yeah. No.
I mean, they kind of profit... Well, not Bruce Wayne, necessarily, but Iron Man...
Oh, yeah,
profits off the damages that he causes. Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars.
How is he the bad guy?
I mean, theoretically, he is a rebel. I mean, he's not part of the Rebel Alliance, but he is a, what do they call that? Not a fugitive.
Person of interest.
Well, okay, so the law is the Empire, right? Mm-hmm. So that is the rule of the land.
Yeah.
So if you are a law-abiding citizen, he is not.
Yeah.
So whatever you would call that.
Outlaw?
Yeah, he's essentially an outlaw. He's practicing a religion that's outlawed. Not allowed to do that. He does it, right?
Yeah.
He kind of tricks this kid. He lies about who his parents are.
Kind of kidnap.
Tricks him into going with him on this journey, right?
Cuts off his legs and his hand.
Well, that's early. Yeah. This is a picture of him from episode 4.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm just saying. I can see where they're coming from. If you're looking at it purely A New Hope, if that's what you're looking at, then although he is a protagonist and a good guy because the Empire is evil. Mm-hmm. Technically, he is breaking the law, so he is a bad guy. If that makes sense. He's a criminal. Mufasa in The Lion King. I don't understand that one at all. And that's the end of the list.
Yeah.
Which had a big picture, which started out at the very top. It had a picture of Natalie Portman from The Black Swan. But she's not on the list.
Interesting. Well, technically she was because she was in V for Vendetta. There you go.
On Looper.com, good guys in movies were actually wrong. Times good, the good guys in movies were actually wrong. This is just times they were wrong. This isn't them being bad. Villains who were actually right.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not going to sort through any more of these.
Should we wrap this up?
Yeah. I like this movie. You like this movie?
I like it a lot. The end final vengeance is pretty good.
Yeah, the final sword fight is pretty good.
Stabs him through the chest and finds out he has a son.
Mm-hmm. It's also like that did seem a little like muddled to me at the end. The flip-flop of finding out who Albert's father really is.
Yeah.
Like, Albert should be upset that Guy Pearce was willing to let him kill his father and fight his own dad.
Yeah.
Having that knowledge. So Albert is in the, he reacted correctly.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe Edmond's reaction is a little weird.
Yeah.
Because he's so full of hate and vengeance that he's willing to give up basically all the wealth that he's amassed, everything to get his vengeance. Yeah. And then including losing Mercedes again. He's willing to lose her over vengeance again, right? Because
well, that was part of it.
Well, yeah, he lost her to begin with.
Well, yeah, yeah, but that's this whole thing is
he was going to get vengeance on her too.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's, even though they're back together, by the time that fight happens, he's willing to lose her again for that fight. But then finding out that Albert is his son, he then decides, oh, I have too much to lose. But he doesn't even know this guy. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he knows him a little because he's spent some time with him during the movie, but it's not like they became friends. He's been manipulating him the whole time.
Yeah.
So but
isn't that what parenthood is? Manipulating your kids to do what you want.
That's right. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's tough to put myself in those shoes.
Yeah.
Cause maybe you would react that way. You're like, oh, he's my son. And I guess back then where everything is so prim and proper.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like he would care being that vengeful, you know?
Yeah.
He lost knowing his son. He lost
it all, yeah.
He lost it all already. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It just seemed weird the way that was handled.
Yeah.
Like all the like flip-flopping and people changing sides and like, oh, I want to fight you. Now I don't want to fight you.
Yeah.
And then that guy leaves and then he comes back because he decides to fight him.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
It's a little weird, but the fight is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With, like, all the wind blowing through the grass and, like, the swords flying around and stuff.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Oh, I was going to say, did you know the earliest filming of this was 1908?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Also, this movie was featured in V for Vendetta. Mm-hmm. Well, not this movie, but the movie. The original movie.
Yeah.
The black and white one.
Nice.
Excellent button push?
Excellent.
Excellent!
Cool. You want to plug our stuffs?
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram at Excellent Movie Adventures. You can send us an email, excellentmovieadventures@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Excellent Movie Pod. And you can follow Pickle on those things too.
Yep. At Pix Adventures, P-I-K-S Adventures.
That's all we got.
Yep. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Toodaloo.
See ya.
Excellent Movie Adventures!